these two readings have a few things in common. We'll first look at David. You see, you'll notice, if you go look at the text in 2 Samuel, that there's a part skipped. You see, when David said, go count the people, Joab said something like, may the Lord, you know, multiply the number of your people. May he, you know, this very Semitic kind of talk, meaning let's not number them, you know. And why not? See, with our understanding of knowledge as control, we have hardly begun to grasp the sin in this. Up to this point, God knew the number of people. God raised up the army. God led them through David, and they did fine. All of a sudden, David wants to take control. And that's why Joab said, may the Lord multiply your people, may, you know, but don't count them. Control. Is it always wrong to count? No, if you're going to have a dinner party, you better find out how many people you're going to have, you know. But there's something there about taking control. Now, it's hard to describe, you know, but it's the idea is, Lord, we're your people, and if I have to know what kind of an army I got, you know. We never think of that part. No, you know, and you'll raise the army, and that's all I need. In a world in which, you know, there is no awareness of God's presence. See, God's been banished from the universe. You know what I mean? Rudolf Bultmann, son of a sincere fellow in a way, but he said, look, from now on, we know that there's nothing that can get in to affect the closed system of the universe. It's very simple. So we have to reinterpret all those miracle stories in the Gospels. They're not, they never happen. We know. Well, that's how we are. See, one of the powers of the charismatic renewal is, you know, God acts again among his people. You know, in Arabic, tomorrow I will meet you at such and such a place, inshallah, if God so wills. You know, the Irish say that too, you know. I'll see you tomorrow, please God, you know. They're cultural things, but if you stop and think about them, it's the opposite of this. And as you can see, so the prophet Gad comes to David with a message from the Lord. You've sinned, what is your choice? Pretty serious sin. I mean, he chooses the pestilence because it's shorter, and I think because he knows God will probably stop it early anyway, because God loves his people. So he takes the pestilence, and of course, this when the angel stretched out his hands toward the Lord, regretted the calamity. Of course, he regretted it. He loves his people. And what's that got to do with metaphysics? A little tough to figure out because God's not trying to make up his mind. But this is very real. Do we trust God? I don't mean in stupid ways, but just are we aware that the cause of this world, the power holding it in existence right now is God? We never think of that. Now, there's reasons why we're at a handicap. If you want to know if it's going to snow, you push the and call them up. You know, we've got all this equipment, and we're measuring the wind and the whatever we're measuring. You know, now, old-time folk never could do that. They didn't have that control. It's nice to have a bit, you know, to be ready, get the plow ready, and get the sand truck out. And I mean, it's not terrible. But we're challenged not to lose a childlike heart. I remember there was this, I lived up at Madonna House, and we had a farm, and this fellow came visiting a very successful dairy farmer from, maybe it was Wisconsin, I forgot now, someplace. And so we said, well, now this guy knows. I mean, he cuts his own hay, gets it in the barn, feeds his own cows, you know. And so about the weather, you know, who do you check with? How do you know? You know, you're going to cut hay today? You know, if you cut hay and it rains and it's nice and fresh and green and it rains, it's like tea, like a tea bag in water. All the stuff gets pulled out of it. There's nothing left practically. So it's important that it not rain. So we're waiting for this. What's your source of information? And he said, I get up in the morning, I look. Looks like it's going to be okay, so I cut. That struck me so funny. My point is, do we have a childlike heart with God? Not that we're going to not call up to see whether, you know, in the school today or whatever, you know. But, and David sinned. I want to know just how many guys I got. Notice the census. He's not worried about the women and the children, and he wants to know, able-bodied soldiers, how many have I got? How many wars can I do? And losing that childlike heart, you see, that's what the sin is. And so, in the other text, we have something almost same attitude. Why is Jesus not impressive in his own town? Because everybody knows him. You know, this is Yeshua from down the street. Very interesting what they say, though. I mean, is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Not the son of Joseph. The son of Mary. You never count anybody like that. Except that somehow they knew something. Or perhaps it is true that Joseph had been married before and his wife died, so he has children by that wife, and now he has this other child, but it's the son of Mary. It's not the son, you know. Anyway, what's the problem? You see, there's no openness. There's no childlike heart. There's no, who cares where he's from? God's with him. He's teaching us. He's healing us. Isn't that wonderful? No, we got control. We know this guy. And Jesus himself, it says in this text, you see, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, to be amazed at something, technically, means to see something and not know its cause, and to grow in knowledge. Now, this was this for us, you know, okay. But for instance, St. Thomas Aquinas, you see, did Jesus have an active intellect? Was he acquiring knowledge? Oh gosh, he sees the Father all the time, and he has, you know, beatific knowledge and infused knowledge. And for a while in his early writings, he said, no, he didn't learn anything. And then twice in the Gospels, we have this phrase, he was amazed. And so he writes in the Summa, no matter what I used to teach, I don't teach that anymore. He grew in knowledge. The other one is where, you remember the other one? You can get to heaven without it. What? Yes, the centurion. He was amazed to see that faith. And so St. Thomas says, I can't work it all out, but clearly he grew in knowledge. But here he's heartbroken. You know, without an openness, without a, you know, hasn't this ever happened to you, just even on the human level? You go into a restaurant and the waitress is just in a mood or whatever. I mean, you just hope she drops the food and goes, you know. And somebody else, they're friendly, they're open, and they're a delight when I'm around. You know? That's, Jesus walks into his own hometown, and he gets the first treatment. And he's there to bring them to eternal life. The saints see that. And they pray for people. The drive, the intercession, Margaret Mary Ellicott and the others, was what? Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself incarnate, and his human heart is filled with love, and nobody wants it. So let's pray today. Huh? How many people would be rescued from their sin, from their illness, from their whatever, if they'd let the Lord do what he wants to do for them? Let's pray for that today.